Welcome to How to Thought Leadership with your host, Julie Morris. Now sit back and relax. Let's grow your influence so you can serve at scale.
I'm thrilled to sit down with you and talk about the thing that I feel like is the secret ingredient to all of thought leadership, all of personal branding, and that is confidence. When I heard you talk about confidence on LinkedIn, I couldn't wait to hear more.
I am a leadership and life coach. And I've been doing this professionally for the last 5 years. My own practice, which is Aspire Coaching, I focus on helping corporate women in male-dominated spaces build lasting confidence so they can enjoy their leadership journey. I came from that space. I have over 20 years in corporate America as a finance leader, oftentimes being the only female in the room, often the only youngest person around, and often the only non-white person in the room as well. So I've had a lot of my own confidence battles, and I've gotten to work very globally. I spent a number of years in London and Singapore, in different parts of the US.
That's an incredible journey that you've gotten to go on. And to your point, you've had to learn confidence in the trenches. When I think about the power of confidence to help you stand out, like with my platform, I've had a massive fear of public speaking. I had wanted to have this career and was very happy in it, saying that I'm like the woman behind the man. I didn't believe that I had it in me to ever speak. If I would have told me 10 years ago, hey, you're going to have a podcast, you're going to speak, I would have thought that there's not a possibility of it because I can't do those things. I can't speak. I can't teach. It's physically impossible. So unless I'm going to get this absolute conversion of my brain, how could one do that? And when I say the magic ingredient really was this decision to be confident, I'm not kidding. I'm not special at all, any more so than like you or like any other of the qualified men and women that we know. I just didn't want to feel afraid.
It's really that conscious awareness. And when I talk about confidence is the neuroscience behind it, right? Our primitive brains want us to stay safe and they want us to be comfortable. And it all comes from a good place, right? We want to not put ourselves in danger. But what happens is when there's more imagined fear versus real fear, and we allow ourselves to indulge in that fear to stop us from expanding and growing, because then we start feeling a different type of discomfort. And that's the discomfort of being stuck and feeling alone and feeling like we don't have options or possibilities for ourselves. So it's important to understand these two dynamics because it's not one's bad or good. It's really the balance because we also don't want to put ourselves in a lot of danger and put our reputation at risk. There's real ways that our brains help us to do that primitive limbic system brain, but our prefrontal cortex, which is all about visioning and expanding and taking risk and doing the things that scare us, but really help us to grow and show us that we can become confident in a specific skill, and we can become increasingly confident in that capability. We're able to talk ourselves off the ledge a little bit from being so fearful, but also not diving all the way in and not giving us the support that we need. So people find that encouragement a lot of different ways, right? It's either their own reflection of themselves and slowing themselves down to understand their thoughts and feelings. And it's really important to know that we are not our thoughts and feelings. They're always changing. And I always tell people to be conscious when you're full of emotion and your fear is overrunning the system. You don't want to just listen to those thoughts in the moment, right? Sometimes a survival piece kicks in and that's more your body. But you just want to be aware of if something bad happened and you're just offering yourself all these terrible thoughts that more bad things are going to happen. That's a warning sign to just slow down because you're triggered and your mind is coming up with all these reasons. So we just want to make sure when our emotions are high that our thinking is not the highest quality. So we can slow ourselves down and really see what's happening with ourselves and pausing to give ourselves space and make a conscious choice from that space versus spinning in all the thoughts and feelings and feeling out of control.
It's earth-shaking to know that we don't have to let what we're feeling control what we do.
Yeah. Even to, we just jumped on this call, right? Like, how are you feeling? Like, feeling a little sick. I don't feel 100%. But I'm also excited to be here. And I also know that there's value that I want to share with people. And I know I'm going to be nourished by connecting with you.
Yeah.
I'm not just going to there's part of me that doesn't feel great. I'm about 8 months pregnant, as Julie knows. So there's going to be these times, but I also know that it's not just all or nothing thinking, right? There's bits and pieces, and we get to accentuate the positive. We get to go towards what we want to happen. Confidence is like that, slowing ourselves down and thinking about what is what I call a confident cultivating cycle. And that's thoughts and feelings about ourselves that are helping us build that foundation that we are confident, that we do know what we're doing, versus a self-perpetuating, self-doubting cycle where we're questioning ourselves, we don't know, we've been in that discomfort, and we actually have a choice. You had a choice to stay in the fear, or you had a choice to step into, I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to believe, I'm going to choose to believe. Because choosing not to believe and choosing to believe, it's still a lot of work. This is why play and productivity is so important. And the ability to make mistakes is important because it allows us room to grow. And it doesn't make things so heavy. I'm just really into the play and the presence and the enjoyment of this versus the end outcome or the task that's done or the checklist. So we need to be inviting more of that into our lives. The other way I've seen people bridge into confidence is by borrowing other people's thoughts about them. I'm sure, Julie, people have come to you and said, you're this way. And you might be like, I'm not this way. You think I'm this way, but I don't think I'm this way. And early in my career, that was really big for me. People would say, what do you want to do next? You can do whatever you want. And I'd be like, I don't know. I'd probably call myself not a very ambitious person. A person that worked hard and could get stuff done, but I wasn't I'm really hot shit. If people are telling you you're exceptional, this is what you deliver, this is what I see in you. And you can use those to help bolster your own confidence and start building that up for yourself. Because sometimes we don't see ourselves the way other people see us. And when they see us in a certain way that expands our thinking and feeling about ourselves, we can also use that as a bridge for ourselves.
We totally can. Risking the judgment and people just going, what is she doing? I could imagine, I could conceive of so many judgments that people could potentially make of me. And those judgments hold us back from doing something. And that is so unfortunate. We're creating risk where there isn't risk. We're devaluing ourselves by not taking what we need. And I always talk about this bell curve where at the bottom of this bell curve, is the 30% of the people that will never support you no matter what you do. Yeah. And then you've got the rest of the 70% consisting of your very vocal supporters and the people that silently support you. And so if my perception, those people that might not support me and totally will judge me, who about what they would think? Let's remember what we're doing here and why. And that mission has been crucial to me getting to this place, for sure.
That purpose that you're talking about and that service energy can also help people to have the courage to do the thing that they're scared of doing. Sometimes my clients come to me and they're like, I'm not a thought leader. I don't know. There's so many people's thoughts and opinions. I want to serve everyone. And I just tell them, serve that one person. Think about your one person out there. For me, I often think about the lonely senior or rising star female who feels truly alone in a group of men, who don't really feel like she totally belongs, who feels exhausted from not knowing how to express her emotions or ask for things, ask for a promotion, ask for more support in some certain ways, right? So I think about that person when I'm writing, when I'm doing my thought leadership, when I'm doing my marketing out in the world, because that person needs and wants the help. And if I can overcome my fear of being exposed or being out there in the world or dealing with people not liking what I say, but having that one person feel like, oh my gosh, she really gets me and I'm not alone, that's worth it.
It's so worth it. So if we're thinking about takeaways from this conversation, that's definitely one of them. Without having that mission, the purpose, the singular focus, or however focused you need to be, but you've got to focus. Your why. We've all heard Simon Sinek and like the talk and the why, and it's, but it's real. Mm-hmm. That why does sell you, right? In the best way. And that why does keep you going when this stuff is no longer fun anymore. It's just work and consistency. And it's showing up when you don't feel like you have anything to say. And yes, there's grace, but staying on that path and on that track is important. And when the whole crowd thins out of people doing the work, and now people see that you're doing the work, and then they go to you because you're doing the work. That's important. Yeah.
And I think there's a willingness to commit. I'm going to say this so many different ways to help so many different people, because they may need to hear it a different way. And you might get bored with it because it's, you've heard it so many times. But actually, the more we say something, the more concise and clear we get about it, and the more distilled it gets for people to actually absorb it and to understand it. I think I see this with a lot of entrepreneurs. I don't know if you see this with the thought leaders that you work with, but it's like people want to change topics. They want the sexy, the new thing. And it takes time to hone a message. It takes time to really commit to a specific brand, a specific niche to really support them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like shinier objects that people like to go after.
We want it to be fun, right? We don't want you to get bored and just feel like this completely sucks. I will not. I can't. That's when I think people quit.
Yeah.
Is when it isn't fun and it's totally a drag. But to have some shiny and, but yet do the work of honing in, getting clear. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. It really isn't. And if you're listening to this, chances are you are in a pivot. Or you're approaching a pivot, because we don't show up doing personal brand work and thought leadership work often until there's a problem. And that problem is usually related to revenue. You have to get a job. You have to find clients. And so here you go. I wonder, for you, Yen, it looks almost effortless. Then you speak and you're very good at it. How else do you get through the work of thought leadership?
For me, I write one piece of content a week that I share on multiple platforms. And oftentimes I'm looking for inspiration throughout the week, whether it's coach somebody on something, I've thought of something, and I try to fall in love with that thing. Today, actually, I was coaching a female client who we were talking about relationships, and you've got this big choice to either be dissatisfied, be resentful, want people to read your mind, or you have a choice to get messy, say what's so for you. Say your wants and needs, be in the discomfort of not knowing what's on the other side. I always tell people, you're 50% of the problem. The way you're showing up, your tone, your attitude is also contributing to whatever circumstance there is. And that is growth for you. You get to decide to show up differently, think a little differently, speak up differently, and you can do something to change it. My clients, when they really don't want to do something, it won't matter if I say something anyway. And I was like, it will matter to you. Like, you get to make it matter to you. You speaking up gets to be a shift for yourself. And who knows what will come of it, but we already know what's going to happen if you don't speak up, because you've been doing that for most of your life.
We get this one life, right? I know you want to write the book later. You want to start writing tomorrow. Every day is a gift. And you have this phone where you, in 10 minutes a day, could build the network that's going to totally transform your life if you can just get out of your own dang way. You, in 10 minutes, could sit down and share a thought that unlocks the journey for someone else in the same freaking situation as you. Maybe you are now, you were 10 years ago, and send that thought across the globe in seconds, and people read it and they learn. We're not mentored like we wish we were. We're not trained. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in corporate until about 13 years ago, and then I left. And now imagine how many professional trainings I've done. It's been how to do the work, but not how to become a leader. And so now I'm catching up. And part of who's mentoring me in this journey of learning how to manage a team and be careful with the hearts of my people that work for me, that's all been because people go on LinkedIn and they share, and getting used to seeing your words out there. That stops people in thought leadership because they don't know what it's like. We can't help you if your feet aren't moving.
Mm-hmm.
That feet moving thing gives you space for the practice, the screwing it up. Like now when I teach, I don't care if someone sees me grab a drink of water, or grab a drink of coffee, or, oh, the light went off and I'm going to have to fix it. I'm okay with humanity because I've been here and I've done a podcast, I've taught, and I didn't die. In fact, everyone seemed to really like it and say great things. And those reps greatly increased my confidence.
It's a cycle of you saying, okay, I did it. I'm still alive. But we have to have that internal narrative for ourselves, that inner cheerleader that's saying versus our inner critic that may end up telling us that didn't mean anything, right? We have a choice in that. We have a choice of what thoughts we want to have about ourselves and the mindset we want to have about ourselves. And it really comes back to your relationship with yourself. I always tell people, your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship that you will ever have that will dictate your life, your possibilities, what's going to be created for you. Believing in yourself, having your own back, taking risk, creating things that were not possible if you don't open the door for yourself or you allow circumstances or other people to dictate how they feel about you and how that's going to limit you and your possibilities. I really believe in coaching because it helps us to create a better relationship with ourselves, which we will have for our lifetime and can be leveraged in so many ways to empower ourselves to create what we want to create.
So creating a better relationship with ourselves, giving ourselves consistent chances to take risk, because behind that risk is like where the opportunities are. It's not in your safe space where you haven't tried new things, unfortunately, right?
And I do this with a lot of my clients, particularly the ones that have children. And sometimes people find the inner child work, it's a little weird. But if I say, what would you say if your kid did this or if they failed at that? Oftentimes, or your friend, you're so much harsher on yourself and we're so much meaner to ourselves than we are with people in our lives that we care about. And it's like this sort of motivating way that we try to motivate ourselves because we want to survive and we want to expand. But that was the tools that we had. But actually with greater awareness, we can have better tools, right? We get to encourage ourselves and be kind to ourselves while holding a high standard instead of just being really shitty to ourselves and wanting ourselves to be so disgusted in ourselves to move forward, right? But that kind of perpetuates, I have to do something. I have to earn something to get out of this feeling crappy about myself. Mm.
After you do the work and the client does the work of going through this self-discovery process and finding their steps, and what does it look like to succeed in confidence?
The moments that I feel the most proud of myself were when things were really hard, when I got really tough feedback, when a CEO really didn't like something I did. But for me to be able to be kind to myself in those moments, to affirm myself, to show up, to still stand tall, that is what confidence is. It's the ability to have that resiliency and to still be affirming yourself all the way through, taking those steps, taking those risks. Because it's easy when things are good, right? People are just like, you're amazing, you're amazing. But it's a lot harder to be kind to yourself, to cheer yourself on, and to see yourself growing, right? Like, I'm still standing tall, and the historical me would have been embarrassed, would have shied away, would have sat in shame, but I'm here, and I'm okay with me, and I'm human, and I'm still showing up, and I'm proud of myself. So I always tell people, it's not like you're just going to get yeses. You might get no's, but the no's will be more satisfying because you'll feel like you're taking steps to getting closer to that yes, or taking steps where you feel empowered. And a no or a rejection doesn't mean that somehow your self-worth is on the line, because you've worked on yourself and you have the confidence to know that you get to choose how you want to think and feel about yourself, no matter the circumstances that are happening in your life.
So if we're thinking like what success looks like with confidence, you're wrapping your arms around risk and taking chances on you and driving yourself towards that thing that may feel like it's not even possible, like it was for me. It felt like that laughable. I had 35 years of proof points that I should not ever be public speaking, ever. Right? I proved myself right. That would be a disaster and it wasn't safe. How fast we're having to pivot, like that's such a risk, like leaving one thing, starting another. I will take a bet on me any day because I face down these other things totally flopped and totally failed and nothing bad happened. And I found a community around me that was right there to support. And I didn't know who they were until I was in that risk. And then they were there. And it was just tremendous. You betting on you is a safe bet.
Yeah. Embracing the unknown and having your own back, right? And knowing that other people are going to have your back too. You're talking about pivots, right? Because there's so many people looking for jobs now. And what I'm seeing in a lot of women that want to work with me is, hey, I'm looking for that next job, but I also see this as a gift, an opportunity to really rebalance things, right? Reprioritize things that if I'm in like the kind of hamster wheel of a corporate role, I wouldn't have had a chance to take care of myself, do things that I'm passionate about. This is an incredible time to be able to not only just pivot, but to look at how do I want the rest of the trajectory of my life to be?
This thing of fear. So we talked about getting to know ourselves and we talked about like how destructive that fear can be because it holds us back, right? It really does. And it just tears down our confidence. I feel like it's if we're pouring water on a plant, that's the weed that will grow the fastest. Think about fear for a little bit and oh my gosh, it's like a heyday. You just... So much more fear comes after we think about what could go wrong. I do think that there is this healthy level of confidence and optimism that we almost just need to include as table stakes. If you're hearing this and you don't have that level of confidence yet, you got to get it.
Yeah.
You can't go without it. I don't think that there's a way because otherwise the fear can get so big.
It's that resistance of the fear, right? It's almost so big because we're resisting it and we're putting like, distracting on top of it, drinking, whatever, eating. But actually, if we welcome the fear into our lives, somebody once told me, you feel like there's this like scary monster downstairs and you don't want to go face it. But when you actually go downstairs, it's like a little baby crying. It's actually a little harmless. And so sometimes I actually help and coach people go to that place. Go to that place where you think you're going to be homeless, but really ask yourself, like, how many other choices will you have? How many other safety nets will you actually have before it gets to that stage? Because there's so much, right? And I coach people with lots of money in their bank account, and they still have that fear. And it's an internal fear. But if you don't choose to have that relationship with your fear of, hey, I got you. I know you're feeling scared, but one of the thoughts I love for people to have when they're feeling a lot of fear is for them to ground down in their body and to remind themselves that in this moment, I have everything I need. I'm safe. They find evidence of sufficiency in this moment, right? There's still food in my fridge. It's these simple things that we get to have a conversation with ourselves to calm ourselves down, to parent ourselves in this way. Versus indulging in that fear or trying to avoid it. And it just builds up more and more resistance. And it's almost like you're just going to be flooded with it. And again, when your emotions are high, your thinking is low. You start thinking about all these things that could go wrong. And they're just really expanded and magnified to a level that doesn't make sense, right? This is why it's important to talk things through with other people because they could be like, Julie, there's a lot of things that could happen before that happens. And instead of just letting yourself spin in it.
What is the process like? Because sometimes we feel, like, oh, that's going to be such hard work. I don't want to do the introspection. Do I have to just sit and cry for 3 days with you?
Sometimes I get people, they're like, oh, I have to do a lot of deeper work or I really need to like my childhood really messed me up. And I always like reframe, like everybody had a childhood. And I often like to tell people a stat that most of our U.S. presidents actually are children of alcoholic parents. And this is, it actually becomes, they want to be a star. They want to fix things, right? So it's not like negative or positive. It's just, this is just what's, and I always start with people on their first authority figures, which is typically their caregivers, their mom and dad. What was your relationship like with them? And we're really looking at ages 0 to 7 to look at where those beliefs were formed. Do you have limiting beliefs? Do you feel I'm alone and on my own, or I need to perform, or I'm not good enough, or I need to be a good girl. I can't be disruptive, or authority is unpredictable. So we actually need to uncover these things to understand the way that we look in the world and how we expect the world to interact with us, and to challenge those beliefs. Because if we just let them keep hovering, and they maybe help us get to where we want to be, but might not help us get to that next level of expansion, of leadership that we want, right? And so it is this deeper work, because we can do tactics on top of it. I've like told people also in some of my webinars, people want to just be like, oh, I'm going to show up as an entitled white man and just try to think the way that he does and act the way. But your tone is off. People don't really feel like it's authentically you. Yeah. You feel fake doing it, because it might help you have a spark of possibility, but it doesn't. It feels like lipstick on a pig, right? You can try to do the tactics on top, but this building, this lasting confidence, is about you understanding and knowing yourself, and knowing that no matter what happens, I have my own back. I know myself, and I know how to speak to myself kindly, how to motivate myself. And that's something nobody ever can take away from you if you choose to work on that and do that path. But once you have it, once you invest in that, the possibilities are limitless.
Absolutely. I don't think that there's a single leadership program that I have looked into or I have heard of that skips this part if it wants to be done right. Because otherwise, we just keep circling around the mountain.
Yeah. And it's
like, why does nothing ever work? It's because you have this thing that is so broken that just needs alignment. It's like you can't run with a broken leg. Mm-hmm. Like you could put all kinds of things around it, but until you hit that core issue, that's why. And fake will fail. I will say it till the day I die. Fake will fail. Confidence that I went after was a decision, but it wasn't a fake one. Fake, it will let you down in the moments that you just don't want it to let you down. And it will leave you feeling like a fraud. And yeah. So even with thought leadership, it's like you need to show up as you, as the real you. Yeah.
I think an imposter syndrome comes up a lot, right? I feel like an imposter, and it's, okay, let's look into that. Are there skills you think you need to work on that will help you? And then is there just a mindset that you have, feeling or thought you have about yourself, that's holding you back in that way?
And then you deal with it and you move on. And it's never as bad as we think it will be. Ever. Never. Like, it may be like, ooh, this is more uncomfortable. What are you going to do? Go to a gym and have it not be uncomfortable a little bit?
Yeah. But
be able to get to where you want to be.
But it's also exhausting to not be where you want to be. So I think on the other side of it, it feels safer, but it's also exhausting to feel like I'm stuck. I'm not as strong as I want to be. I'm not feeling as alive as I want to be. I'm not as satisfied in my life as I want to be.
Yeah. This has been a tremendous, helpful conversation. I think the takeaways that we can get from this, for the love of Pete, people, please make the decision that you're worth doing whatever it takes to deal with the thing that's holding you back. So maybe it is confident. Maybe it is you're just afraid of risk, afraid of what could happen. It's not a great way to feel and to be, and it won't help you get to where you want to be. So it may be time to do something about it. And if nothing else, just practice, get out there and see what can happen, because what can happen is so much greater than you think it'll be. It really is. And that community that you need to get you to where you want to be will appear, and you will not even believe it until you see it. So trust and go for it.
Yeah. And the other side of fear is excitement, right? It's a roller coaster ride. You're going to be excited about things and there's going to be fear, but you get to look at it in a positive, exhilarating way versus a
scarable, traumatized, sad, weary.
And for those people who want to come to one of my complimentary webinars, it's all about navigating conflict confidently and being able to go into those uncomfortable conversations or discussions in a way that you feel empowered, that you are not stuck in drama, that you're not stuck in one of these, what I call drama triangle, which is a transactional analysis tool that can really help you open your eyes in how you're maybe not showing up as responsibly or giving people your power. So I definitely invite you to come to that and just explore what is possible and available to you in your life when you actually embrace the discomfort of conflict.
We will see you folks next time for How To Thought Leadership, where we want you to be empowered with the tactics to go and to build your future. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to How To Thought Leadership with Julie Morris. You can find Julie on LinkedIn and most other social media platforms. If you'd like to talk about how to increase your own influence through thought leadership, you can contact Julie through personateam.com.